All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim and Frank and Chris here, and we have on the phone our next guest, former defensive back and friend of the show, and a sponsor of the show as well, Dr. Bobby Call. Bobby, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be here.
All right, you know, it may not have been the best defensive effort over the weekend, but since you are familiar with the secondary play, talk a little bit about the Virginia secondary, which includes at least three guys from the Richmond metropolitan area.
Well, you know, I think just as an overall overview, the team is young. You know, they can make some great plays and they can make some equally bad plays, and that's what happens with a youthful team. So I think the inconsistency is what's kind of killing them. You know, there was a great interception against BYU and run back. There was a great, you know, Kalik had a great run against Oregon. And then you turn around and throw an interception in the, you know, in the end zone. And so I think the same is true back in the defensive backfield. You know, they can make some, we got some great athletes back there. And, you know, but they're youthful to some of them, and you know it's tough being consistent when you're young.
And is some of that where they had some blown assignments that gave up some big plays?
Yeah, and also it's kind of looking back and reading the quarterback. I think you know the guys are working hard to cover their man, and then it's equally hard to look back and catch a peek at the quarterback to see when he cocked his arm, and then so that's when you can make your break. And that's so crucial to do that.
You know, Maurice Kennedy from Verina, Tim Harris, also from Verina, Draquan Hoskey from Henrico, and Anthony Harris from LC Bird. You know, Harris, I thought he seemed to grade out fairly well from what I could tell in the game. He was obviously the star of the Brigham Young game. I mean, he made all the big plays, blocked the punt, had the interception lateral to Henry Coley, and he did everything but sell popcorn. And, you know, Hoskey seems to be defending people pretty well around the field. But like you say, maybe some of those assignments were blown. Not maybe it just wasn't the DBs. Maybe it was the linebackers and some of the ends. Because it seemed to me that Oregon would go four plays, we'd stuff them, and then the fifth play they'd break one for 40 or 50 yards. And it was like, what the heck is happening?
Well, yeah, and even, you know, that first run by the quarterback, we had him all covered, and he just sprinted up the field like the QB from San Francisco. So, I mean, that guy was so talented. But the other thing to remember is, you know, it's a team game, and, you know, you can have your man covered, but you got to have all, you know, three or four of them covered, and there's got to be some overlap underneath from the linebackers. So, you know, it's a team game, and it takes time to gel as a team, even with great athletes. And, you know, we've got really good athletes now, and you can see that in some of the great plays they're making. But here again, you know, it's a team game, and it only takes one man to break down. That's what I remember when I played. One man would break down, and that's where the ball would go. It was amazing how consistent that was and just frustrating.
Bobby,
you know, 99%, you know, complete and execute, but then have something break down like that.
What's a game like this do to the team's psyche?
Oh, I think you get over that one pretty quickly. You know, Oregon was a great team. They have great speed, and if anything, you learn from them. I think, you know, our guys that are great athletes, they can learn. You know, Kalik can look at that running back and see what he did and go, hey, maybe I'll stay back and pick my holes a little bit differently, you know, maybe I'll try some of his moves. So I think, you know, it can be a great learning experience in a loss like that.
Well, let's hope so, because there were certainly a lot of teachable moments, I guess.
Well, they have an opportunity now, you know, I mean, not to overlook VMI, but you really have, what, 3 weeks before they play at Pitt. So you almost have another summer camp to go through a lot of things.
Well, you're right, and that's what it's going to take for these young guys to come together as a team. It's going to take more, you know, playing and learning what the other man is doing so you know where he's going to be at any given moment. And that's the tough part of team play. It takes time to gel, just like an offensive line takes time.
You know, one good thing that came out of the game is very few injuries. We're aware of some sprained ankles, but didn't seem like anybody hurt any knees, and there were didn't appear to be any shoulder injuries, and unless Connor Davis hurt his shoulder, we're just not aware of that yet.
Yeah, and you know, And Wadsworth, man, I love the way he was throwing. He's got a quick release. He steps in. He's got a strong arm. He may have to, you know, he'll make his reads quicker as time goes on. But and he's quick. He, you know, when you compare who was athletic as Oregon was, well, you know, Wadsworth is up there. He's pretty daggone close.
Well, I think there were times, you know, certainly Shepherd had a beautiful run. And Parks had a couple of plays where he was very nearly breaking free, just needed a little bit more blocking. But there were some deep outs they threw that, you know, I thought that one of them was interference. The guy fell on Gamble's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
landed on Gamble's legs.
Their bench. Yeah, the one in front of the UVA's bench was clearly interference. But it's hard to call it. The guy bumped him with his elbow and just got him off stride. And that's hard for the officials to see.
Well, Bobby, talk a little bit about what the team has to do, you know, what the coaches might do in this coming week or two. Might there be a couple of scrimmages to try to maybe give the team some more reps, particularly on offense, to get them to play better and more consistently and maybe put some drives together?
Well, you know what? The word is execution, and that is what Oregon did, and that's what we've got to strive for. Play calling, you know, that's anybody's guess. But, you know, that touchdown drive that we had was so exciting. And then to see two plays up the middle and then a long third down pass, you know, that's not surprising anybody. You know, I could catch anybody off guard with that. So, you know, I think, you know, doing a scrimmage is probably good to keep them toned up, especially since, you know, there weren't any known injuries. But I think, you know, whatever it takes to work on execution, you know, against a good defense, I think that's a fairly legit possibility. You know, first offense against first defense, at least on the passing game.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are a couple of scrimmages. But we got to jump to Dr. Davis here in a couple of moments. Final thoughts here. Virginia's got a weird schedule here with this bye week and then VMI. What would you expect from Virginia getting ready for VMI?
Well, you know, they've got to win, number one, and they've got to play hard, because if you don't play hard, you get injured. So, you know, I think everybody's just going to just go really, you know, all guns ahead and try to develop some momentum. That's what they have to do. I think they got to get momentum, get the feel of scoring, get the feel of playing team defense, and that's what they got to do. They got to think like build throughout the season, get better each game. That's what I predict.
And then, of course, they've got to travel up to Pittsburgh and introduce Pittsburgh to Virginia football. So hopefully...
You failed to say the great city of Pittsburgh.
Certainly not Pittsburgh Steeler football.
No, the Steelers are dreadful.
Yeah, 2 points, and that was they didn't even score them.
They're awful. With my Ravens fan Jesse here, I hate to admit it, but man, I think the Steelers could run the table. We're playing for a draft pick.
Hey, it's going to be a good challenge for the Wahoos to go up there and have a good showing. And I think, like you said, it's almost like they've got 2 or 3 weeks to really hone in on Pittsburgh. So I look forward to a good
game. Now, the only thing I would say is you never want to have a bad performance where you have a couple of weeks of practice, because that makes the coaches irritated. So they could have spirited practices. I always hated spirited practices.
They've got to, because they've got to develop that momentum. And, you know, whenever you play against a top five team, you know how fast they play the whole game. Well, that's what our team needs to do in practice, is play at that speed all practice long. So you can carry that along all game long. And I've always said that, you know, to play top 10 football, you got to practice at that pace and have great athletes.
I have a funny feeling the practices are going to be fearsome. Anyhow, listen, thank you, Bobby, and hope to see you in studio in a couple of weeks. Get you back in here, okay?
Hey, look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Take care. All right, so now we're going to track down Dr. Thorpe Davis and look at the injuries. It seems based upon Mike London's interview last night that the following news, Kevin Parks, Taquan Mizell, and Kalik Shepherd all have ankle sprains. So all three tailbacks are dealing with ankle sprains, and having had ankle sprains, I can tell you they do not heal quickly. And it's a huge hindrance to a back. Wide receivers and and halfbacks hate and ankle sprains.
I think some of our doctors before have described the difference between a so-called high ankle sprain and just a, I guess, plain Jane vanilla ankle sprain. I'm not exactly sure what the difference is, but certainly I think football players. Yeah, I think Dr. Davis is on the line, Frank.
Thorpe, are you there?
I am.
Perfect. Good timing. We were just describing the only news that we really have at this point, because we still have not played an ACC game and UVA is not required to release an official injury report. We are aware from Coach London that all three tailbacks for Virginia have ankle sprains. Kevin Parks, Taquan Mizell, and Kalik Shepard all have ankle sprains. So take it away. What does an athlete have to do to overcome that, and how might the medical staff help them overcome these ankle sprains?
Oh, well, thanks for having me on. Ankle sprains are divided grossly up into sort of two separate categories: regular ankle sprains, which almost all of us that have played sports have had, and then the dreaded high ankle sprain. A routine ankle sprain is a rupture or a stretch of the talofibular ligament, and it is not really critical to ankle function. It heals. It'll heal a little bit looser than it was before you tore it. But actually, most athletes can play as early as 2 or 3 weeks, maybe in a more severe case, 4 or 5 weeks. The injury can involve one ligament or two or three ligaments, and the more severe it is, the longer it takes to heal. But in general, the vast majority of those ankle sprains can return to play within a reasonable time period with non-surgical treatment. The high ankle sprain, on the other hand, is a tear in the ligament that joins the fibula bone to the tibia bone. And the high ankle sprain, and these injuries have not been elucidated further, but a high ankle sprain is a much more serious injury. The more serious of them require surgery to repair the ligament that goes between the two bones by putting screws between the two bones. The less severe ones can be treated in a boot, sometimes with crutches, sometimes without. And that could be, for a running back, sort of a season-ending injury. So let's hope these are all the first category and not the second.
All right. Having had numerous ankle sprains, in fact, too many to mention, I could tell you that a running back or a flanker, wide receiver, it is a brutal injury because you're always making cuts. The one piece of good news is Virginia has a bye week this week, and then VMI follows. So hopefully at least one of these guys gets well enough so that he can play and support the other. Virginia has another tailback, Nye. I can't remember his first name right now. He's the fourth tailback. So he'll probably get a lot of reps against VMI. And then another week later, Virginia will play Pitt. So in that span of time, is it possible for these backs to probably get well?
I think so. Taping helps, bracing helps. Those things don't affect the ability of the ankle to slip. It can still slip, but it slows down the speed of the slippage, so it allows the tendons that go on the outside of the ankle to respond in a faster fashion. So those things help. Obviously, tape loosens after about 20 or 30 minutes, so you have to retape those athletes a lot. But if they control the swelling and do the ice and the elevation, hopefully one of those three guys will heal enough in 2 weeks to be able to plant and make a cut. But you're exactly right, Frank. It can be very disabling for that athlete that has to stop and change directions. But there are various different grades of it, and hopefully one of them got a lower grade of ankle sprain.
Very good. Well, Thorpe, thank you for joining us, and we appreciate the support again of Jody Smith, you, Dr. Anita, Vince Dalton, and Gordy Rawls, all of you from Ortho Virginia. We've appreciated your support every year, and we'll bring you back in a couple of weeks, okay?
Thank you very much for having us on.
Take care. All right, we're going to head to break. When we come back, Chris Sill will take over with the Olympic Sports Report. Stay with us.